Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps. I'm Jody, your best friend and inner voice, as together we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. For all premium content and bonus episodes, become a member at patreon.com/realitytvpod. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at realitytvpod or realitytvpodcast.com for links and so much more. And now, on with the show. Oh, my dear heavens, what happened last night? Where was Teen Mom OG? What the hell? This to-be continued bullshit is dragging on for yet another week. Last night, I was so ready just to sit down, ready for a hot cup of karma to be served up to Farrah, and just on a gut feeling, I went in, turned on my TV, went to check my times, make sure I got everything all set, and where the hell are my girls? Instead, there was some new teen mom, not two or OG, followed by a Being Britney special. Now, I love some pregnant teen trash TV, but I can't get on board with this. Give me Gary in a tipped hat or Leah getting the girls' some cold beefaroni, or give me nothing at all. I'm going to need a session with Dr. Drew myself if we don't get this Farrah firing next week because my heart can't handle it, okay? I'm back to running. There's only so much my body can take. I do have Michael Abraham's number, and maybe I can call him. I can get a hold of Dr. Drew. I don't know. But anyway, we're not going to get our OG girls, but we did get their polar opposites. Sort of the gallant to teen mom's goofus. Now, I'm probably showing my age because that is quite an obscure reference. So bonus points to anyone who knows who or what goofus and gallant is from. Maybe I need to get some like fun freebie giveaways for stuff like this. I don't know. What is something you guys would actually want and not just throw away? Like pens or magnets, coasters, maybe little drink koozies. I don't know. I'll have to find some things. Let me know what you think if you have any ideas. All right. So let's get on to our little quivers from Counting On. First up, we have Joy and Austin. Now, we didn't get a whole lot of screen time from them this week, probably because we had a whole 2 hours of them last week, but we already knew that they were living in the RV. But this week, we got to see what our little homemaker and dutiful, godly wife can do in the kitchen. Joy's whipping up a meal of green beans and potatoes with, get this, an exotic seasoning called, let me look at the label, garlic and herbs. Ooh, I mean, do you think a marinade would just drop Joy to her knees or what? I would love to see what she would do if we whipped up a little chimichurri. Ooh. But okay, seriously, those potatoes looked so oily to me. Maybe it's just how you use an electric skillet. I don't know. I don't have one. I wasn't really raised with an electric skillet. So I just prefer a much more roasted in the oven vegetable. I just imagine all of that food that she was cooking tasting like canola oil. Ugh. Well, at least Austin was helping to cook the meal, and that's more than we can say for probably most, if not all, of these other in-law husbands. Now, when they're done cooking, they go to eat their first meal inside their house, which I thought was kind of cute. It was really sentimental, and as much as I'm a hard ass, I really do kind of like that kind of stuff. Now, the only thing I was wondering was, if they've been married a month and a half already from what Joy said, and this is their first meal, what have they been eating and where and how? Like, have they just been eating fast food all this time? Gross. And maybe it's just because I'm fresh off of watching the Asante brothers on My 600-Pound Life, which, kind of a side note, I'm going to be announcing, well, I guess now, I'm going to be watching parts 1, 2, and 3, and they think there might be a part 4 or follow-up of these crazy ass obese brothers. They're not crazy because they're obese. It just happens to coincide, but whatever. I'm going to be watching these Asante Brothers train wreck and talking about it on Patreon this week and in the weeks to come. So check into that. But anyway, I brought that up because I was thinking of fast food and I don't know. I mean, do the Duggars, are they even allowed to order in a pizza? I don't know. I'm curious about that. But anyway, Joy and Austin are liking this married life except for when the sewage gets full and they have to empty it. And oh, something about the gas being left on. I guess it'll bring you closer on a whole new level when you have to navigate your shared sewage disposal. Honeymoon is over, Austin. Now, other than that, we learn the greatest challenge so far is learning how to cook for only two people as opposed to raiding that Aldi pantry to feed Jim Bob's godly army every night. And I wish I could tell Joy that it gets easier or less annoying, but it really doesn't. Dinner is the worst. Now, I'm type A, and even planning the week's dinner ahead of time, knowing what I'm going to make for dinner every night, you still got to worry who's going to like it, who doesn't. And then as soon as dinner is done, you got to clean it up. And then it just happens the next day over and over again. Dinner is my Groundhog's Day. Like, why does everyone have to be fed every day? We need someone to go on Shark Tank, solve this problem. Because I'm not going to lie, when I was younger, I remember watching The Jetsons and thinking, when I'm grown up, I'm not going to have to think about this. I'm going to have a Rosie the robot. She's just going to make a meal and open up her steel rib cage and boom, dinner's ready. God damn it, technology, get on this already. All right, well, moving on, or should I say counting on? Really, the bulk of this episode was focused on my least favorite in-law, Jeremy, and his wife, Ginger. Now, last week, they moved out of their apartment into their new house, and now it's time to decorate Jeremy's office. Was I the only one that was furious that we have 60 minutes this week being dedicated to this guy's damn shelving dilemma? I could have been in and out of an IKEA and had all the shelves assembled by the time this episode was over. And that bookcase that they had to move. Oh my God. Okay, wait, hold on. Let me back up. Why in the hell did they even move those bookcases into the house if they were planning on taking them out? What was the point? And if the white bookcase that they were weekend at Bernie-ing all over the house got into the house, there's a way to get it out of the house, you freaking morons. Between the two of them, they have half a brain cell. And at one point, Ginger said the bookcase was going to crack the bed. What kind of mattress did JB and Michelle have Ginger sleeping on all these years? Never in my 22 years of life have I heard anyone afraid their mattress would crack. The Duggars are not giving their school superintendent a good reputation. Who do you think that would be? JB, Michelle, maybe Miss Cindy. I can see it. She's kind of a hard ass. Okay, well, this battle of the bookcase ends with them just leaving it in one of the bedrooms because they can't make it around the corner. And Jeremy just plans to ask Ronaldo, their painter slash carpenter slash handyman, to help him tomorrow. Well, tomorrow comes and Ronaldo is like, okay, hey, you dumbass gringo, you just slide the freaking thing out, you dumbass. And then it's time to get Jeremy's bookshelves installed. Now, these bookshelves are to Jeremy what reality TV is to us, right? He can't wait to just sit in the room with the shelves and his books and just sit. The books bring him joy, and he wants them to surround him. Now, these books must be really good because at one point, Jeremy says, and this is a direct quote, "I'm excited for the books to have a new home. More excited for them. Let them breathe and have their own space." Like, he knows they don't just come to life like on Reading Rainbow, right? And I'm certain that he probably has some secret porn collection just stashed between the pages, right? Because he is way too into them. And what's really bothering me, even besides the book, is that he's getting in the way of these contractors. At every turn, Jeremy is asking his amigo Reynaldo if he can ayudar contigo or some shit. I mean, can you just get out of his way? I cannot stand people who stand over someone who's in their house, a contractor, just, okay, check in on them. Hey, that's cool. But if you wanted to do it yourself, take a Home Depot workshop and just get to it. And even Ginger is in there stepping around. And at one point, they look at the shelves that were just like fitted to the length of the wall. And Ginger can't believe it. She looks at it and she goes, wow, that's amazing. And even Jeremy can't believe it, that Ronaldo took a tape measure. Okay, this is Jeremy's words. Ronaldo took a tape measure, spent 5 minutes measuring the wall, then he left, and it's perfect. Yeah, that's called measuring. It's this thing where we use those same little curvy symbols you see in the Bible after John and Paul. Like, they represent a quantity of something. Maybe you can look it up in one of your books. Now, in the end, the shelving is installed, and now Jeremy's desk is in place, and the room has now lost half its fucking square footage, and you have to turn sideways to get around this enormous desk that Jeremy bought. I am not going to lie. I would have lost my shit if Mr. Reality TV did that to a room in our house. It would keep me awake at night. I would walk in there. I would get all twitchy until I finally forced him to buy a new desk and just repositioned everything. But we know that that's not going to happen with Jeremy and Ginger because they're so happy, babe. And they'll just express their love and take out their frustration on the tennis court. Love. Now, next up, Jessa and Ben. The title of this episode was actually titled Spurgeon's First Haircut, so I knew he had it coming. But it began with Ben asking for a haircut. Now, I know Jessa is a slob, but I did not expect to see her set up shop in her living room to give haircuts. I know I'm a neat freak and I'm a little OCD about stuff, but that's gross, right? I mean, at the very least, it didn't make much sense to do it right there. I cut my little guy's hair and I do it outside if at all possible. And if I can't because it's too cold, I do it in the garage. If it's still too cold, I go in the empty bathtub or the shower and then I can just sweep up or vacuum or rinse the hair away clean. But apparently that just makes all too much sense for Jessa. Now, because Jessa always gets this queen of all things titled in the Duggar family, the whole family goes on for about 2 or 3 minutes about how amazing Jessa is at doing hair. So let me get this straight. She is the resident interior designer, the hairstylist. What else? Oh, well, we'll find out later, don't we? Now, Jessa trims Ben's hair, and I guess it looked okay. It wasn't anything crazy. I actually think that it could have been faded a little bit better, but maybe I'm just being picky. Well, now she's going to trim Spurgy's hair because everyone thinks he's a girl. And you know that pisses Ben off because he thinks Spurgeon's going to catch a case of the gay if someone thinks he's a girl. So Ben plops Spurgeon on his lap and Jessa just starts chopping little random pieces off, just like a little piece here, a little piece there. And she was wielding those scissors straight towards Spurgeon at one point. And I was doing like the mom gasp cringe thing, like, ooh, ooh. I don't know. I would just think that she would have better mom cautiousness being in a house of 19 kids, or maybe that's how you lose it. Now, with all safetiness to the wind, she doesn't seem to take that much off. Like, I hardly noticed a difference. And she saves a wad of the hair for memories. Now, I might be treading on some touchy waters here, but I don't know why, but saving hair grosses me out. I have the tiniest amount of my kids' hair because, I'm not gonna lie, the people at the hair place told me I had to. Like, they looked at me like I was a horrible person and they said I was gonna regret it, but hate to tell you, what am I, almost 8, 9 years out? I'm still grossed out by it. Ugh, who's gonna wanna touch their own hair that's 30 years old someday? Ugh. And the same goes for teeth. I did not save my kids' teeth. Call me a bad mom, but what are they going to do with it? They leave enough of their stuff lying around, and now I got to save body parts too? No. I think that must have started in the caveman days when the little Neanderthal children didn't have toys to play with, just a square wheel and a tooth. We've moved on. If you have an iPad, you don't need to hang on to things your body itself is trying to throw away, right? And you know what? Maybe this is where hoarding started. It all starts with saving your hair and saving a tooth here and there. And next thing you know, you're Paul from before the 90 days and you have an emotional connection to your penis sheath and Kevlar vest. Oh, okay, so where were we? Oh, okay. Ever have lychees, leeches? No? Okay, yeah, well, me neither. But that Ben, he's a bad boy, and he likes to buy new foods to try at the grocery store. Ooh, this is so exciting. Who needs hopes and dreams and fun things together as a married couple when you can try a new kind of shortbread cookie or fruit? Ooh. Now, like I said, today's new food is lychee, leechee, and approximately 12% of the Duggars have heard of it. Again, not a ringing endorsement for Michelle's teaching abilities, but I'm a little concerned with how Ben kept barking at Jessa. Is that on your diet? Is that on your diet? Turns out baby Henry has eczema. He gets an upset stomach and he's got eczema on his head, and eczema on kids is an indication that there's some sort of sensitivity or an allergy. Now, Jessa is doing the right thing. She's eliminating things from her diet, trying to narrow it down. Now, you know my feelings about Jessa, but that does suck. I have kids with eczema and allergies in that baby stage when their skin is just a mess. And even now, it just blows. Poor little Henry. Now, jump ahead past a commercial break and we're at the Duggar headquarters. They have a tradition where they make a huge slip and slide in the front yard. And all the kids put on their swimming clothes. And I mean swimming clothes, like they're actually dresses with what looks like C9 Target capris underneath. It's a, well, it's a look for sure. And we get to see JB for just a moment before he runs inside to give Michelle her afternoon tranquilizer dart. And he says they make a poor man's swimming pool by digging a big hole and filling it with water. Now, I don't know if you can technically call it a poor man's swimming pool if you're digging it with a front loader that you own, that's stored in one of your garages, that you built on the acres of property that you own. Now, they're all having fun. Some kids I've never seen before show up. I think there was one named Jocelyn, not the Seeking Sister Wives one. And there was little Josie, who I think is that one that was born prematurely. We also see that Ben is there, and he was the one throwing water balloons at the windows of the house. Can't say I blame him. It would feel good to throw something at the Duggar's house, but I think I prefer it be more of a statement on love, the law, and equality instead of a water balloon. Now, also at the sprinkler party is Kendra, and we got a brief wedding planning segment with Kendra and Joe, along with their wedding planner and wedding party expert, Jessa. See, she's just the most talented one, isn't she? Now, I can't wait for the day that Jana quietly leaves the commune and writes a tell-all. And if she teams up with John David, I mean, we would be giggling like baby dolphin Kendra, right? Now, Kendra and Joe are only a month away from tying the knot. And in an attempt to match the happy colors she adores so much, Kendra has transformed her skin into the shade of a bright amber sunset. For real, we need to talk about this. What is going on with her? She is sitting next to one of the most pale humans on Earth, so her autumnal hue is just striking. Maybe her daddy, Pastor Caldwell, likes her to be orange because monarch butterflies are orange, and we know how he likes his butterfly kisses after that wedding special, right? Now it's time for the shopping trip to the men's warehouse of Duggarville. Jess is there to shop for accessories. She's looking for the parents, the usher, Joe, the groomsmen. They all need ties, belts, and socks. Now, Kendra was feeling overwhelmed with this task, so that's why she asked Jessa, who we learn responded, "Ugh, yeah, I was hoping you would ask. I mean, who wouldn't want my help because I'm so good at everything? Okay, I might have added that last part, but I know she was thinking it even if she didn't say it. No, Jessa head bitch in charges it to the suits and ties, and she decides that they're going to wear navy suits, blush pink ties, and brown belts. This is where we got to see a little flashback of all the other sons-in-laws, which was kind of neat to see because I didn't remember what they wore. Interesting they left out Josh and Derek, though. We're reminded that Ben had suspenders with bright pink bow ties. I don't think it'll age well through the decades. Austin had navy and light blue. Fair enough. And Jeremy, of course, he needed to stand out. He had a whole bunch of patterns and a vest, and Jeremy is super, super good at fashion. Just makes me sad that Ginger doesn't think she's as good as her husband Jeremy, because I really like her for some reason. They all end up picking the stuff out, and they get the ties for Pops and Pastor. Oh, Joe, two-piece. Okay, Kendra, you'll be getting a penis of your own pretty soon. Hey-o. All right, lastly, Joe says the magic word, surreal. The closer it gets surreal. Like, is this real? Never have a Ducker episode without the word surreal. Now, we also got a quick little update from that TLC lady who pops in to tell us overly enthusiastic ways to do normal things. And she states that Josiah Saya is engaged. And I want to say his fiance, her name is like Lauren or something. All I remember is that she really likes hay and she has a gummy smile like before the 90 days corny. Now, I know that was a quick one this week because, again, Teen Mom freaking gave us the shaft, but that does it for Counting On. Married at First Sight is still in the books for tomorrow, and Patreon is coming up this week. I'll be talking about 600 Pound Life and recapping Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And just in case you haven't heard the breaking news in the special announcement, you're hearing it first. Coming this April on patreon.com/realitytvpod, I will be recapping Real Housewives of New York. I'm so freaking excited. Love, love, love Real Housewives of New York. Favorite franchise ever. So be sure to check that out on patreon.com/realitytvpod and find all those links and some cute mugs and shirts on the new and improved shop site. Got some new designs going on in there, and I think there's a free shipping promo going on until March 12th. That's at realitytvpodcast.com, or just click on the links in the show notes. All right, apples, I will talk to you real soon. Stay salty.